give God some praise if that's your story. Can the Lord send you? Can he send you? There's a word for us in the book of Ezra, the book of Ezra, Old Testament, book of Ezra, chapter 3. I want to read verses 10 through 13, Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. That text says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments or robes and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept out loud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. I've entitled these two messages, Rejoice Instead of Weep. Rejoice instead of weep. The book of Ezra is not as popular for many of us as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But even Ezra is inspired scripture and profitable for instruction in righteousness. In our text, the people of God are in process of rebuilding the temple. One of the early steps of rebuilding is to not only remove the debris, but to then lay the foundation. And it was at the laying of the foundation that you see one crowd praising the Lord, apparently because they are excited about things moving forward, no longer in Babylon, talking about what we would have, could have, should have done, but in Jerusalem, building the temple. But there is another crowd, the older crowd, the leaders, who are not rejoicing, they are weeping. And they're weeping because they remember how larger the original temple was. They had in their mind what used to be. And it was no doubt their expectation that the rebuilding of the temple would match or exceed the previous temple. And when they saw that the reality was not in line with their expectation, the Bible talks about how they wept and wept out loud, so loud that the weeping and rejoicing were indistinguishable. Are you in this house? As we find ourselves in this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, Advent, Kwanzaa, and all of the other things that are going on, there are those who are rejoicing, and there are others who are weeping. And the pastor came by to tell you today, we should rejoice more than we weep. Now, I want to start off talking about weeping today. And I had to abbreviate my sermon because of time, and so we'll go as far as we can go today, and we'll pick it up on next week if the Lord say so. But weeping. What in the world were the leaders and elders crying about? I believe they were crying because of the disparity between their expectations and their reality. When they looked at what they expected to see, and they looked at what they actually saw, the difference, the disparity between the two made them weep. Let me get a little closer. There may be somebody sitting here today who had all kinds of great expectations of where you would be at this time in your life. And when you look at what you expected to have, and then you look at what you actually have, and you look at all of the difference and distance between these two points, some people are tempted to weep. I got to get even closer. There may be some woman here who thought that at this time in your life, you'll be happily married to Mr. Right. And here you are now, significantly down this road, and you haven't even met Mr. Maybe, let alone Mr. Right. You thought that by the time you reached this age, that you would have at least two children, that if they were not college graduates, then surely they would be gainfully employed somewhere and doing some positive things with their life and perhaps have a grandchild or two running around the house being mischievous as children are. But the reality is, yes, you have some children, none born out of marriage. And those that you have brought so much pain into your life. When you held that baby in your arm and looked down in the baby's face, you was dreaming about how this could be a doctor or a lawyer, or accountant, a business owner, or something. Little did you know that that baby would grow up to be a drug addict, to be incarcerated for over half of their life, to never be an asset and contributor, a taxpayer, but always a tax consumer. When you look at what you dreamed about and what you actually have, some people come to this point in life and weep. But men, women are not the only ones that weep. Men can weep. There may be some man here who, as a child, dreamed of doing great things with your life. I don't know many boys that haven't dreamed of being a professional football player, basketball player, and birthdays help you get a little bit more realistic. You thought you would at least graduate from high school and perhaps become an engineer or something with your life. But you made one silly, childish mistake. Messed around and got a felony on your record. And discovered that when a black man get a felony on his record in America, to some degree, it is a life sentence. And so you've spent all of your 20s, all of your 30s, all of your 40s, barely making ends meet. And now that you see the evening of your life fastly approaching, you have no wealth accumulated, there's no son that looks up to you and proudly calls you dad, nobody in the community applauds your contribution, you find your life full of tears instead of joy. There may be a single person who could take the mic at this point and share their weeping moments because they thought that by this time in life, they would be married. And then a married person can take the mic and say, I'm weeping because I am married. I thought marriage equaled happiness, but I've discovered it's not necessarily so. Some parent can take the mic and share their weeping moments over their children. Senior citizens could take the mic and talk about how they've cried about what was promoted as golden years. Little did they know that gold is not guaranteed in golden years. Somebody in this church can join me in weeping that some of us expected the church to be further along than it is. And yet we are where we are, which is not the worst case scenario, but if we told the truth, it's disappointing. And if you catch us on the right day and the wind is blowing the right way, you may find us weeping. Are you here? Not only will the disparity between expectation and reality tempt you to weep, but sin's impact can cause you to weep louder. Somebody ought to ask, why are we rebuilding the temple? What happened to the first temple is a reasonable question. And the answer to that question is sin. More specifically, our sins tore down the first temple. When the children of Israel told the story straight, they would have to say, God kept on telling us to leave Baal alone. God kept sending prophets all the way back with Moses saying, I am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And instead of us listening to what God said through his prophets, we and our foreparents killed the prophets and worshiped whoever we wanted to worship. And when God got tired of our foolishness, instead of sending us another preaching prophet, he sent Nebuchadnezzar and the king and army of Babylon. And Babylon came up in here and tore down the walls and burned up our temple and took all of the gold that we had to glorify God. Babylon took all of our gold. And the reason we have to rebuild the temple is because our own sin tore down the first one. And you know, when you and I look at our life, it's a mess going on that's only finds its roots only in our sin. When we want to get cussing mad with somebody, how did I get here? Where's my stuff at? When we want to get mad with somebody, we got to get mad with the person in the mirror. It's a man sitting up in here who's mad about his lot in life and then mad about the silly decisions he made along life's journey. You was cool all your life. Cool. Wanted to be a player. Here you are now, 50, 60 years old, still trying to be a player. Broke player, but you playing. You playing. Ain't got no gas in your car, but you playing. And when you want to find out why am I in this situation, you have to blame the person in the mirror for making silly decisions. There may be some woman here who, when you were younger, You was 36, 24, 36. You couldn't walk in the room without all of the men trying to sneak a peek, trying to sneak a peek. Okay? And there were some other ladies around you who were trying to tell you, baby, listen, I've been where you are. And let me just tell you from my own experience, time brings about a change. And so instead of you just going around here trying to be a tease and trying to live off of your beauty, get yourself through school. Make something out of yourself. Because after all, you can buy your own flowers. You don't need a man to buy you some flowers. You can buy your own flowers. You ain't that weak. You can open the door yourself. You played volleyball in school. Why you can't open the door? You, baby, listen. You're more than legs and thighs and breasts. Make something out of yourself. And you told that old lady, listen, you just an old fogey lady. This is new school. You just jealous of me, and you just trying to hold me back. And so you did it your way. You went flouncing yourself around, switching everywhere you went, jumping from bed to bed, thinking you just all of that. And then time started moving to 36 down. 24 got bumped. And that bottom 36 got bumped. And here you are now. You about a 36 plus 24 plus 36. And now you can walk in the room all you want to. And ain't nobody whistling now. You wondering what happened to my lot in life. And it weeps, calls you to weep, to think about how silly we've been. There's somebody here who got all kinds of health troubles right now. And you're mad about it, but you get even madder when you think about how all that smoking, drinking, drugging have contributed to your current health circumstances. Somebody broke as can be. And when you get mad, you got to get mad with yourself, because the reason you're broke is because you've wasted money on silly stuff all of your life. You got more clothes than you could possibly wear, but have absolutely no wealth. And there's nobody to blame except yourself. Somebody's mad because you're lonely. Did nobody want to be bothered with you at Thanksgiving? And ain't nobody going to be bothered with you at Christmas. You're going to be trying to find out who got something to eat, and they saying, we ain't got nothing. You smelling the turkey in the oven. They talking about, we ain't got nothing. They got cranberry sauce on the table. You can see the cranberry sauce on the table, and they say, we ain't got nothing in here for you to eat. And you're mad because don't nobody want to be bothered with you. And then you get mad because of how you've acted so silly throughout your life. You've acted mean. You acted hateful. When you had a little something, you didn't want to share anything with anybody else. You thought you was just all of that. You cuss folk out. You act snobbish when you thought you had a little something. And now that you've discovered that what goes around comes around, you're now at the bottom of the same mountain you've been climbing, and don't nobody want to be bothered with you. You should have listened to what those old folk were saying when they said the same people you meet on the way up are the same people that you're going to meet on your way back down. So be careful how you treat people. But you thought they didn't have no sense. And so here you are now in the evening of life and have no invites for holiday. I wish y'all could see how y'all looking at me. Why were these folk weeping so much? They were weeping because of disparity. They were weeping, no doubt, because they saw sin's impact. But I think that there's a reason why the leaders and the elders are leading the weeping party instead of the praise party. Because I think God gives leaders and elders a clearer perspective that sometimes young people just can't see it as clearly. I pull out this example of education. When you are a child, education is such a chore. I don't feel like going to school. I don't feel like studying. I don't want to take the test. I don't want to be on time. I don't want to be respectful. And if I go to school, I just want to fellowship, socialize. I want to hang out with my boys. It's socialization. It's not education. But time helps you see. Now listen, if you want to make a good living, if you want to be able to retire one day, then you're going to have to learn how to do something that people are going to pay you a significant amount of money to do. That means you have to go to school. You got to learn how to read. You got to learn how to write. You got to operate the computer. You got to surf the net. You got to be able to interact with people that don't even know where Avondale is at on the map. It's a great big world out there besides Avondale. And when you see then how important education is, and then you step back and see the status of public education in our city, it is enough to make you weep even louder. When you are a child, going to church seemed like such a waste of time. Mama is just so boring. I don't want to be in church. I want to sleep in on Sunday. But as time goes along, you began to see that the best this world can offer us, follow me through this illustration now, is about $2 or $3 worth of gas on a long journey. The most you can hope for is to get started, but you're going to always get stranded. Somebody ought to help me here. Whatever this world has for you, it might get you started, but you're going to end up stranded. You'll never get as far as you are supposed to go because $2 and $3 worth of gas is not going to go very far. It'll get you started. You'll get out of the gas parking lot. You might get around the corner, but after a while, you're going to be stranded. And somebody's had to learn that the hard way. You started off with all of the stuff you wanted, and you thought stuff was going to satisfy you, but here you are now, stranded. You were popular when you were younger, but now ain't nobody studying you, and the people who do call your name still don't feel the gap in your life. You ain't nothing but stranded. You got the finest car. I mean, can't nobody take anything away from your car, but you're stranded. You finally got a man to marry you, but you're stranded. You finally got some woman to marry you with your crazy self, but you're still stranded. Because without God, there's going to always be something that's unsatisfied in you. And the things of this world just can't do it. And so no doubt it was the leaders and the elders looking over this thing with a clearer perspective that caused them to weep even louder than the rest. And so I think I halfway understand why they wept. But if I was there, I would have wanted to talk to them about why they should rejoice instead of weep. If they would have listened to me, I think I got 7 reasons why they should rejoice instead of weep. But they would probably be looking at me the way y'all looking at me and say, well, Reverend, just tell me one today and let's see, can we get back together and hear the rest of the reasons. So let me tell you the first thing I would have told them. First reasons, number one reason in this list of 7, why they and why we ought to rejoice right here, right now, instead of spending any time weeping. You ready? Number one, we ought to rejoice about what God has already done. Yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. I'm gonna take this exit right here. This is why we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice because the Lord has already, even at the foundation level, been mighty good to us. Walk with me now. Look again at this text. These people are not in Babylon singing a godly song in a strange land. They are not in Babylon crying about the good old days of Jerusalem. They are not eating garlic down in Egypt. On the contrary, they are in Jerusalem. And the Lord has already allowed them to build a good foundation. And you know that describes somebody's life right here and right now. Things may not be as advanced as you want them to be. But when you look at where you've been and look at where you are, you would have to agree with me, the Lord has already been mighty good to me. Yes, I wanted some more, but I don't deserve what I have. Already, the Lord has been good to me. If I had 10,000 tongues and 10,000 years, it would not be enough tongues nor enough years to tell the Lord thank you for what he has already done. I think I'm going to take my time in this service here now. Listen, somebody here has been picking some cotton earlier in their life. And look at how far the Lord has brought you. Somebody remember working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week and barely came home with enough to pay for rent and groceries. But oh, look at how good the Lord has been to you. You and I could join the psalm writer in Psalms 90, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Yeah, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. Look back, children, over your life. And can't you see how the Lord has brought you through dangers, seen and unseen? I'm a tie knot here to try to keep us on the same diet. But you remember Psalms 23, don't you? The Bible says the Lord leads us by the still waters. He allows me to lie down in green pastures. We can all shout about still waters and green pastures. But keep on reading. And the Bible says, he leadeth me through the valley of the shadow of death. I need your attention here. In other words, no matter how still the water may be, no matter how green the grass may be, if you just keep on living, you've got to leave the still waters in the green pastures and go through the next valley of the shadows of them. And if you are not careful, if somebody give you the mic and interview you while you're in the valley, you will only tell them about the good old days. If they catch you while you're in the valley, you will only tell them about how green the grass used to be, and about how still the water used to be. But the preacher came by to tell you that step up a little bit higher, and you will see that this valley you're in, it is not your destination. The Lord has a marvelous plan for you. And the plan includes not just going into, but going through the valley that you find yourself in. Did you hear me? And yes, you may have had some good days, but if you keep your hands in the master's hand, you'll find out that the still waters in front of you are sweeter than the still waters behind you. Did you hear me? The green grass in front of you is gonna be better than the green grass that is behind you. Now please, I need a minute here. I know that when we think about blessings, the most that we think about is money in our pocket. And somebody here is saying, hey, Reverend, my best is behind me. They've already taken my house. They've already taken my car. My husband, my wife has already died. I'm already over the hill. My best is behind me. But I beg to differ. If you're still living, the best is yet to come. The Lord has more for you. And let me go on and tell you the truth. He may finish his promise on the other side. And I know it sounds old fogey. I know it sounds old-fashioned. But listen, let me tell you. Sometimes you gotta claim your pie in the sky, because there's no more pie down here on earth. What I love about the Christian religion is we're rich even though we don't have a dime in our pocket. What I love about the Christian religion is that no matter how many people die on you on this side, we can look forward to a great family reunion on the other side. And so then, children, as I close here, I'd have made up my mind to throw away all invitations to pity parties. I'm not gonna RSVP to anybody's pity party. Let me tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna lift up my head and look beyond the hills from which cometh all of my help. I'm gonna look up there and see where all of my help has came from, where all of my help is coming from, and where all of my help will come from. No, I don't have time to be crying and weeping about disappointment. I believe that God is still sitting up high, and God is still looking down low. No, this is not what I expected, but God, who sees the end from the beginning, he saw it and he's working it out for my good. Lord, have mercy. I got to serve communion, but I done got happy here just thinking about how good the Lord has already been. This is only reason one. I got six more reasons why they should have been praising the Lord. Praise him, because the Lord has been good. He's been good. Yes, I've had to cry, but he's wiped every tear away. Yeah, burdens are heavier than I thought they would be, but he's been my heaven, Lord Sharon. That's how I made it. I didn't make it because I bore my burden all by myself. I made it because every single step of the way, he had his shoulder next to my shoulder, bearing my burden right along with me. And let me go on and tell the whole truth. If I stopped right there, you would think it was me and Jesus. But let me tell you the truth, it was Jesus and me. Because sometimes I tapped out, said I'm through with it. And it's at those moments, he was not mine, heavy load sharer. He was mine, heavy load bearer. He wasn't with me, he was a substitute for me. When I had given up on myself, then the Lord picked me up, carried my burden, carried me, and brought me safe and sound. That's how I got here. That's why I'm not going to pull out my blues songs. That's why I'm not gonna pull the blinds. That's why I'm not going to anybody's pity party. I shall rejoice. If I gotta rejoice all by myself, that's all right. I'll just act like I'm in the car all by myself. That's all right. You don't have to go with me. I'll just act like I'm in my car driving down the street, having church all by myself all day and all night, all week long, all month long, all year, all of my life. Angels been watching over me. Did you hear me? All day and all night. Angels, they've been all around my bedside. They've been all around my dinner table. They've been all around me driving up and down the street when mean people wanted to snuff my life away. Angels got between me and them and made my enemies leave me alone. I gotta praise him. I don't know what he's done for you, but when I think about what he's already done, I gotta praise his holy name. Anybody here? I said, anybody here got a made up mind to rejoice instead of weep? Don't you dare let the absence of a man or a woman in your life steal your joy, steal your praise. Don't you dare let the absence of money in your pocket make you faint. You don't have anything to shout about. If you got breath in your body and the Lord still sitting on the throne, you can join me in praising him. Go on and tell the Lord thank you. Go ahead on and tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go on and tell him thank you. Go on and tell him thank you. Thank you for what he's already done. I know you thought it was going to be different. I know you had different expectations. And the world wants you to cry so you can buy their gimmicks to put a smile back on your face. But the preacher came by to tell you, even though things may not be the way you want them to be, you ought to rejoice, because the Lord has already been mighty, mighty, mighty good to you and to me. Oh, bless his name. Yes. Yes. I'm going to rejoice. I don't know what y'all going to do. I'm going to rejoice. Oh, bless his holy name. Every now and then you just need to make some time to feel it. Just got to feel it sometime. I'm sorry we're late, but I just had to get that out. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. Somebody just need to shout their way in the church today. Come on while you can. The door is open. Why don't you come? The door is open. If you know you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need something within you, that can help you rejoice even though you want to weep. We invite you to come and get right with God. We would love to have you as a member of Southern. But if by chance you get here and discover this is really not for you, we'll send you with a letter wherever you want to go. You can make it to heaven without being a member of Southern. But you can't make it without Jesus. And you ought to come and get right with Jesus today while you have the time. You need a covering over your life. You need some place that you can call home. We offer you the opportunity to come under our covering. Until you believe the Lord wants you to go somewhere else, it's dangerous to be this close and then leave the same way you came. If you know you need to come, step out an aisle and come on now. You don't have to wait for anybody else to be first. You be first. Step out and come on. That's right, sis. Just step out and come on. Today's a good day. This place is a good place. Just come on. If you know you need to come, just step out in the aisle and come on right now.